please let my life, let it praise you. Asking for clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Ask, Lord God, that you would speak to me, through me, and to all those that will have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. And God, please help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Bless us and cause us to be blessings to those we come in contact with. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't done so already, if you feel obliged, you can share on your devices. Amen. As I was looking earlier in the week and in meditation and prayerful contemplation of what I believe God wants us to just share today, and looking at the condition of society and our world and how things are moving, the thought came to my mind to go to the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 4. St. John, chapter number 4, and beginning at verse 34. 34 and 35, actually. And I have the Amplified Classic Version of the Bible. And of course, you can follow in any version that you have. But here we are in St. John chapter number 4 and verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food," Amplified unpacks it here, "nourishment is to do the will, pleasure of him who sent me, and to accomplish and completely finish his work." Verse 35, "Do you not say, it is still 4 months until harvest time comes? Look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how they are already white for harvesting." Thought that I'd like to present this morning is the work and will of God. The work and will of God. Jesus lets his disciple know after they were questioning, did anybody bring him something to eat? They were wondering among themselves when he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." Jesus said, "This is what gives me nourishment. This is my strength." You know, from food we get nourishment. From food we get vitality and strength. And here Jesus said to them, "My food, my nourishment is to do the will, do the pleasure of him who sent me, and to accomplish and completely finish his work." Jesus was driven. He was driven to accomplish everything that he was sent on earth to do. He didn't want anything to distract him. He did not allow himself to be caught off guard, if you will, because he understood the importance and the severity of his mission. And he declared in Scripture, in one place, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." So he did not deter. Remember when he was even younger, and he had stayed in the temple, and his mother and Joseph and the rest of the group had went away and continued their traveling, and they couldn't find him. And then when they went back and retraced their steps, and they found Jesus in the temple, he was talking to the religious people and scribes and Pharisees. And then he asked them, because you know, just sometimes our parents, when they have a sense of uncomfortableness when they don't know the location of their children and they don't know the condition of their children. And so this was the case with Mary, and she kind of questioned, I would imagine, and said, you know, we were looking for you. And Jesus boldly and calmly replied, he said, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? So at an early age, he understood his mission. He understood his purpose. So now in verse 35, he says to his disciples, do you not say it is still 4 months until harvest time comes? And he said, yes, I know you have a certain calendar where you can look and you can see but the harvest time and according to the seasons. And sometimes we like the seasons. Sometimes we like to do certain things according to certain seasons. And sometimes we feel that it's not time to do certain things until a certain season. But Jesus said, look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how they are already white for harvesting. Basically, what Jesus was saying is you don't have to wait because the field is full of people that need harvesting. The field, the world is full of people that needs this salvation. So you don't have to wait for an opportune time. You don't have to wait for a convenient time. Oftentimes when we are doing things for God, it's going to cost us to give up some of the things that we would rather do. Sometimes it will cost time. Sometimes it will cost energy. Sometimes it will cost finances. But when we consider what it costs Jesus, then what we have to give in the work of Jesus fails in comparison, because Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave his blood. Jesus allowed himself to be crucified so that he might secure salvation for all mankind. So we have to look at the responsibility that we have as the children of God, as the people of God, to be doing the work and the will of God. So I'm moving now to John chapter number 6 and verse 28. They then said, what are we to do that we may habitually be working the works of God? We need you to explain to us, what are we to do to carry out what God requires? That's a good question. And Jesus replied in verse 29 of John chapter 6. Jesus replied, this is the work, the service that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent, that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in his messenger. This is what Jesus told them is what God requires. And the work of God has not changed. God is still requiring, I believe, for us to cleave to Jesus. God is still requiring for us to trust in Jesus. He is still requiring for us to rely on Jesus. He is still requiring of us to have faith in God's messenger, who is no one else but Jesus Christ. So the question that I have to ask myself, and you can ask yourself, am I really doing the work and the will of God? Am I cleaving to Jesus? Am I really trusting and relying on Jesus? I know that we live in a day and a time where there are many modern conveniences, and there's information overload, if you will, and there's ways to get this and ways to get that, and everybody has opinions and perspectives and everything, and sometimes people are trying to do things on their own and trying to achieve some sense of moral excellence, some sense of religious piety, but they want to exclude Jesus. They want to tell you that you can do things on your own. They want to tell you, even some have the audacity to say that there is a God in you. And just let me declare that if you don't have the genuine Holy Ghost, then there is no God in you, because the Bible said that his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus said that I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come unto you, so that when we received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, that's when we got God in us. So all those false accolades that people try to tell you, and then we have to understand that the devil, the enemy of all of our souls, he is the little g god of this world. So he manipulates the world systems. So he has a marketing scheme that will push throughout all the nations of the world and tell people you can do it on your own. It's within you, because he doesn't want people to acknowledge God. But we have to understand that in order for us to do the work of God, we must keep believing in Jesus Christ. We must cleave to him. We must be so close. See, God is so wonderful, and he is so excellent and splendid, that we can get as close to God as we want to. All of us can get as close to God as we desire. Remember, he said in his word, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. So if there is any distance in the relationship between God and an individual, God didn't put the distance there. Our actions have put the distance there. But I hear God say in his word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Yes, I know we're living in a time when stuff is going crazy. Everything looks like it's going up. All the bills are going up. Gas bill, natural gas, fuel going up. Lord have mercy, don't make me start naming everything that's going up. Light bill, electric bill, all kind of bills. And then when you go out to eat, you used to be able to get a nice meal for a few dollars. But now, Lord have mercy, I asked somebody one time, I said, how the prices go up, you know, like that? You know, folks, and they got an easy answer, COVID. And now you can't blame everything on COVID. I think it's co-greed. It's co-greed, you know, but yeah, But here's the thing, though. Even through all of that, I give God praise for what I do have. I give God praise. I got the gas bill in the mail, and I'm not complaining about it, because God is going to allow me to cover it. Lord, I thank you for that. So, see, sometimes the enemy will want to put in our minds, in the midst of what we're going through, he will want us to come with a list of complaints about what we don't have. But I'm so glad that when he tries to throw up his list, I can give him my list. What I have, I got my own right mind. I got food, I got raiment, and I got shelter. I got the peace of God. Wait a minute, I don't want to be stingy. This is what we have. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding. We have the God who is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider, and we have to do the work of God, even in troubled times, even in times when we seem like we might be pressed and pushed. We have to recall what God has already left on record in his word. I believe David said, I was young, but now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Look at that. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So the thing that we must do, and the thing that people must do, is make sure you get into that group. What group are you talking about? The righteous, because you cannot be a part of the righteous until you get he who is righteous. You got to get the king of righteousness on the inside, and that is no one else but King Jesus. So don't expect to go on your own strength. Don't expect to go on your own mind. Don't expect to move on your own ingenuity. I don't care how smart you think you are or how slick you think you are. You ain't smarter than God. And if you want to talk about slickness, you ain't slicker than God. Can I go get Jacob, who thought he was slick? But one day God met him and wrestled with Jacob. So that slickster got out slicked by God. And ever since he wrestled with God, then he started walking with a limp, because he encountered somebody that was smarter than him. He encountered somebody that was more quick at his wit than him. So everybody that saw Jacob, after he had that encounter with God, he knew his life had been changed. What are they seeing when they look at us? Are they seeing that we have had a real, genuine encounter with God? We can't talk like the world. We can't walk like the world. We can't think like the world. We can't scheme like the world. But we got to trust in our God. We got to cleave to our God. Somebody wrote a song years ago, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Yes, it sounds good, and it's on a whole lot of playlists, but is that your real testimony? Do you rather have Jesus? Can you praise God when the stakes are gone? Hallelujah. Can you praise God when the chops are gone? Can you praise God when the chicken is gone? Can you praise God if all you got in the cupboard is top ramen? Can you give God a praise when you are down to scraping the barrel? You ain't got enough stuff to make a good gravy, but can you still give God some praise? That's why we have to cleave to God. We have to believe in God. We have to trust in God. We have to have in our minds, I don't know how God's gonna bring me out of this, but I'm trusting in him. I'm not going back to my old devices. I ain't forgot how to stick up somebody. I know I can put my hands on some heat if I wanted to, but God delivered me out of a horrible pit. So I'm gonna trust in God. I'm gonna trust in God and watch God bring it to pass. Yeah, sometimes it gets rough. Yes, sometimes it gets lean. Sometimes you don't know which way to go. That's all right. God has already figured that into the equation. If you feel like you don't know which way to go, can I give you some advice? from the word of God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What do you mean salvation? Full salvation, full security. Sometimes all you can do is stand. And what you're going to do, I'm going to stand and wait on God. I'm going to stand and trust in God. And while I'm standing, I may be in the midst of a storm. While I'm standing, I may be walled in to a situation. I will not open my mouth to complain. But since I'm standing and I realize I'm standing on and standing in God, I might as well praise God while I'm in my valley. So I might not be able to move over here. Can't move over there. But while I have my being, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help don't come from the hills. My help cometh from the Lord. He is the maker of heaven and earth. All the gold belongs to God. All the silver belongs to God. The cattle on a thousand hills belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. God will not leave us. He will not leave us. He will provide. But when he returns, who's going to be trusting? Who's going to be cleaving? Who's going to be relying on Jesus? I made up my mind. Come Hades or high water, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in God. I don't know how we're leaving here. Some of us going to leave by way of the grave, and some of us going to leave by way of the rapture. But I know this, here we have no abiding city. So whichever way I got to go, okay, God, I'm ready to go. Glory, hallelujah. What do you mean you're ready to go? As long as I'm leaning on God, as long as I'm cleaving to God, as long as I'm relying on God, as long as I'm trusting in God, God can take us at any moment. Listen, what peace we have because we know that we're in God. What peace we have because we can lay down at night with our blankets and our comforters, because I done cut the gas off, y'all. So I put on some long johns if I have to, and put on an extra blanket on the bed, and I went to the garage and got out some of my electric heaters and plug them rascals in, because God blessed me already to get solar, so my electricity bill is not that high. So I cut the gas off. The only gas we use now is for the stove. It don't take that long to cook stuff, not for just two people. Glory, holly, God will give you wisdom. So put on a sweater, close the shutters, keep that door closed, put on a sweater. Listen, God, listen, if he took care of the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, 3 years ain't nothing to God. 4 years ain't nothing to God. Let's do what God wants us to do. Listen, we can still come together. We can still worship. We can still lift up one another in prayer. We can still encourage one another. We can still help one another. Wait until God puts somebody on your heart. And when God puts somebody on your heart, go help them. Don't blow no trumpet. Don't have no parade. Just help them. Because what you do in secret, God's going to reward you openly. Glory, hallelujah. And if you have the mindset to fall into the trap of the devil and pull up on your playlist, woe is me, delete that song. delete it and say, God, I thank you that I still got life. I thank you that I still got a reasonable portion of health and strength. I might be eating oatmeal, but I got an expression from Brooklyn, y'all. Oatmeal is better than no meal. Glory. Hallelujah. If I got to eat oatmeal, I'm going to give God thanks for the oatmeal. God will even show me how to dress that up. Go and get you some blueberries and put them in your oatmeal. Go and get some walnuts and put it in your oatmeal. And God will allow that oatmeal to stick to your ribs and take you through the day. Potato chips won't stick to your ribs, but that oatmeal will. You eat it at 8 o'clock, it'll hold you to about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Glory. Hallelujah. God's helping me. Glory. The work and the will of God is to believe God. Remember one time when Jesus was talking about praying, and he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? I believe, I sincerely believe that God is on his way back. But when he comes back, will he find us faithful? Will he find us still trusting? Will he find us walking in agreement with his word? Oh God, I want to be faithful unto you. I don't care what it looks like. Let them talk about us. Let them say we're crazy. But God, I'd rather be crazy for you than a fool for the devil. Oh, Lord, I didn't even get to my scriptures, all of them. But anyway, God, you do what you want to do. That's what we pray for anyway. God, have your way. I might have a script, but God is the writer. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, wait a minute. Did he not say he will write his word on the table of our hearts? Amen. God wants to help us to keep our faith. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. You got need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, see, here is the problem. We want the reward, but we don't want to do the will of God. Oh, glory. Can I park my bike there for a moment? Let me park and put the kickstand down. Okay, I ain't going to ring the bell yet, but let me park there. We want the reward without doing the will of God. But God has put in his word, after you have done the will of God, then you're going to receive the promise. But some of us want to jump over that part. We want to be Edwin Moses and hurdle over the will of God. You can't hurdle over the will of God. God will put up a flag, disqualified, and you'll be disqualified thinking that you're going to get a reward. But you got to do the will of God. What is the will of God? You got to believe in Jesus. And your belief in Jesus has to cause some action. A lot of people claiming to believe, but they ain't living like they believe. Lord, help me. Help me here. Help me. A lot of people claim, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. Yeah, God put this in my mind a little while ago. Well, not a little while ago, but some time ago. Too many folks is Jesus affiliated. You know, you ain't in the gang. But since you live in a neighborhood, you know, and you got to walk past that territory, then they say you gang affiliated. And so when they stop you, you know, they ask you, and they're, no, I'm not with them. Yeah, you affiliated. some people, you ain't with the righteous. You just Jesus affiliated. You heard about him. And you see what he's doing for other folks, but you ain't been jumped in yet. Oh. Ooh. You see, all right, just let me look back a little bit. Y'all bear with me. Y'all know where I'm from for real. But anyway, when you get jumped in, you got to fight. You got to fight. And most of the time, it ain't no one-on-one fight. You got to fight Skibo, man, nutmeg, and all of them. Yeah, and you got to go for yours. All right, let me get away from that. Yeah, but that's the reality. You got to get jumped in. Jesus was jumped in when he went to the cross. Huh? God poured out the wrath of God on Jesus. He took our place on the cross because we weren't qualified. So God wants to jump somebody in today. Huh? He wants to jump you in. Huh? And he wants you to get jumped in. And he wants to jump in you. How? He wants to give you the real Holy Ghost. When you get the real Holy Ghost, then you move into the righteous. Right? And then when you get the real Holy Ghost, then the Bible says they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you're led by the Spirit of God, then you will learn. Lord, have mercy. Help me here. The scripture just popped in my head. You will learn that godliness with contentment is great gain. When you surrender to the Holy Ghost, don't fight the Holy Ghost because you can't win. God's undefeated. He's undefeated. But he wants to jump somebody in. And it starts with repentance. I'm not even on the notes there, but it starts with repentance, real repentance. When I got locked up, what time it was? In Korea, I got locked up. Lord have mercy. Pray for your boy. I got locked up in Korea. I wrote a gospel song. Yes, I did. You said, I thought it was a gospel song. See, I was sorry for getting caught. I wasn't sorry for what I'd done, because if I was sorry for what I'd done when I got out, I would have done better. Mm-hmm. Some of us are sorry for getting caught. We get caught every time we hear the word. And God, it's his love trying to draw you. And some of us have a worldly sorrow. Yeah, I know I need to do better. Yeah, I know I need to do better. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that was a good one, Pastor. That was a good one. You know, you dap it up and you hug it out. You know, that was a good one. Yeah, ooh, you were on it today. Yeah, but when you gonna get in it? Some of us, because I know what that's like, to be sorry of a worldly song. Yeah, I wrote. You know, y'all want to hear the song? No, you don't. You remember, some of y'all who wasn't born saved, y'all remember the song by Paul McCartney, The Long and Winding Road? All right, here, pray for your boy. Here it is. The long and winding road, da da, leads me to your door, da 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 da. Right? Y'all remember that? Late 70s, early 80s. Anyway, while I'm in that jail cell in segregation in Pyeongtaek, Korea, you know. See now, watch this. Remember I shared that God had healed me when I was a kid in foster care. God healed me from stuttering. So I had a knowledge of God, but I was just Jesus affiliated. So here I am in Pyeongtaek in that jail cell, call myself gonna write a gospel song. And see, God blows my mind because he is so amazing. He has not taken that gift away from me. But it was purified when he gave me the Holy Ghost. But before that, see, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Huh? That's why some people can be talented, but you got to get in God. So here I wrote this song. I changed the words to Paul McCartney's song. Yes, I did. But I stole the melody. Huh? Da 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 da. Here's what I said. Jesus paid for all of my sins on the cross. I'm in jail. Because he loves me so, I want the world to know. He cleansed my soul and said, go and sin no more. Many days and many nights I walk without a friend. When Jesus came into my life, I felt the warmth within. Yes, Jesus paid for all, come on, bah, bah, of my sin. See that? But I was in jail. I was a sinner. When I got out of jail and they flew me back to this country, I still acted up and got arrested in Georgia. What happened to the gospel song? See, that's what happens when you're Jesus affiliated. But God wants to jump somebody in. Oh, I didn't, well. Aren't you tired of being affiliated with Jesus? You can't work for God. Not really work for him. And it be counted and tallied up in heaven. Lord, we did this in your name. We did this. I ain't know you. I never knew you. Huh? Come on. The work and will of God. I got so many scriptures here that I thought I was going to use. But the work and will of God is to believe on Jesus. And when we believe on Jesus, here's what we'll do. We will, and God will help us, consistently live for Jesus. We will consistently live like Jesus. So when they see us, they see Jesus. Remember, our theme for this year, what's our theme? In 2023, get the whole thing. In 2023, it is not about me. I want people to see Jesus, don't you? We want to touch people with the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we want. So what is the will and work of God? Believe on his messenger. And his messenger is the man Christ Jesus, the Son of Man. God bless you. God keep you. I hope something was shared that will motivate us all to do the will and work of God. Look at the harvest. When Bishop Swansea was still living, and I think I took his last class that he taught at the college there, Enon School of Theology and Bible College, and he shared with us that every day over 250,000 people die on this earth. That's a lot of people. And how many of them are entering into eternity without the salvation that Jesus Christ provides? So like Jesus said, the harvest, look at it. Look at it. The field is white, ready to harvest. So this week, here's your assignment this week. Here's our assignment this week. Share the love of God with somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus. Just tell somebody about Jesus. And let the life that we live in the presence of all we encounter, let it speak louder than our words. Amen. All right. Anybody want to be saved? Anybody want the real Holy Ghost? The real Holy Ghost. God. See. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And God has put in his word on record that, I said this before and I'll say it again, I can only find one tarrying session in scripture. I can only find one. Yeah, I want to see your expressions, because I am walking with the sledgehammer to the wall of tradition. There was only one tarrying session, and that was when Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Tarry there in Jerusalem. Tarry just means wait, because they had to wait until the day of Pentecost fully came. God does things in order. That was the only tarrying session that I can find in scripture. So what are you saying? I got the Holy Ghost with that chariot. Praise God, you got the Holy Ghost. But what I'm saying, faith in God's word. Faith in God's word. Peter was preaching. Peter went down to Cornelius' house after God got his head straight about being prejudiced. He went down to Macedonia to Cornelius' house and was preaching Jesus. And while he was preaching, the people believed what he was preaching. They believed it. They put their faith in what he was declaring unto them. Had never seen him before. They put their faith in what Peter was preaching, and guess what happened? They received the Holy Ghost. Gentiles received the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, look, we can't forbid water, because they got the Holy Ghost just like we got it, just like we Jews got it, because they heard them speak with tongues, right? And then he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And just let me share this. I said it on Bible class. If you watched it, if you didn't, go back and get it. When we get baptized in Jesus' name, it is not for the remission of our sins. It's the blood of Jesus that remits our sins. I'm taking another swing at the wall of tradition. Now, there's some things that respond to the name of Jesus. But it is the blood that Jesus shed that cleanses us from all sin. So, when we counsel, can I do a little teaching for a couple of minutes? When we counsel with candidates, we want them to understand that blood was shed to clean them up, to clean us up from our sins. It was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we want them to put their faith in what the sacrifice of Jesus accomplished. So when we baptize, don't panic. When we baptize, we will baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus. But it's not for the remission of their sins. And we believe that they will receive the Holy Ghost. You done changed the doctrine. No. I just explained with clarity what the Bible has to say. Let God be true and every man a liar. 8 times in the book of Acts, you see people get baptized, and none of them were baptized. Watch this. Give me a minute and a half more. 3,000 Jews were added to the church. You got to look at the history of the Jews. They understood the Passover. They understood the sacrificial system. So when Peter was talking to those Jews and he told them for the remission of your sins, they understood the blood. They understood that. He was talking to a Jewish audience. They understood that. So when Peter goes to Cornelius and preaches to him in his house, he didn't say, he's the same one that told the Jews for the remission of your sins, but he didn't have to say that because the Gentiles had no real historical knowledge of the Jewish religious system. So they believed by faith and received the Holy Ghost. And that's all you have to do. Believe by faith and receive the Holy Ghost. So when we baptize, I'm going to put some things out to our ministers. We're going to do it like they did it. Baptism, we're not taking away the name because there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. But we just want some clarity. One of the things that, again, Bishop Swansea said, he wants us to shout with intelligence. With intelligence. So we have to be intelligent about what we're doing. Because we will run into people who are more studied in Scripture sometimes than we are. And we hold on to tradition. And we, oh, come on. All right. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. Where's my phone? Is it in my jacket? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, I got to speak this blessing on y'all. Y'all don't mind if I speak a blessing over you, do you? Thank you. Amen. I'm going to shout out my homegirl, Evangelist Beatrice Guillory. I'm so glad that you're here with us this morning. I'm going to just put my bid in. You can always come home. We love you. You know that. We go way back like four flats on the Cadillac. Amen. Amen. Let me find this blessing to speak over us. I told somebody one thing that I won't hear today in the comments in the preaching is take your time, Pastor. Because it's Super Bowl Sunday. Ain't nobody said that. ain't nobody going to say, take your time, Pastor. Yeah, come on, come on. I understand. Hey, come on. See, they're asking for to-go containers already, huh? The game don't come on to what, 3-something? Come on. So can I take my time? No, don't do that. Amen. Amen. Right, my dog is not in that fight. You're right. Amen. God is so good to us. I appreciate God. How about you? I'm trying to find this app right quick. Bear with me. All right, here it is. Those who are able to stand, if you can stand with us. While I speak this blessing over all of us, and I mean this from my heart, it's taken from the Word of God. The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and be blessed.